This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Well, this is the sixth and final week of our series, Is There Baseball in Heaven? Joe and Bill, they are pretty good friends. They're really close friends. They're getting up there in years, and they're also big baseball fans. They played when they were younger, and they love watching the game as well. And so they make a pact with each other to say whichever one of them dies first will come back and tell the other one if there is indeed baseball in heaven. So Joe dies, he goes to heaven, and he comes back to Bill. And Bill asks him, okay, Joe, what's the story? What's the scoop? And he says, well, I got good news and bad news. The good news is, yes, there is baseball in heaven. The bad news is you are pitching next Friday. I had to tell that joke because I think after the first week, about five different people told me that joke. So I'm like, all right, I got to get something out of this. So even if you didn't laugh, I had to say it. And hopefully, if you've been with us for some or all of this series, you know that wouldn't be such a bad thing to be pitching next Friday in heaven. That heaven is actually the place of our deepest longing. We've been looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that says, God has made everything beautiful for its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Our hearts, they ache for nothing less than infinite joy and happiness. But that infinite happiness can only be given to us by an infinite God and in an infinite place that is heaven. So the second week of the series, we talked about how we get to see heaven more clearly, and that's by being childlike. Then we talked about how as children we ache and we long to be affirmed and to find approval, and we will have that in heaven when we forever live in the glory of God's well done. We talked about our ache for treasure. We long for treasure, but treasure paradoxically comes from what we give away in this life. And we said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead and have treasure in heaven. Then last week we talked about the role that our hardships play in getting us ready for heaven. That God uses our struggles, our hardships to prepare us to enter into heaven. So today as we wrap up, we're going to look at a few verses that actually talk about heaven. Most of the verses we've looked at haven't looked directly at heaven. And talk about what happens to the earth. Because if I were to ask most people, well, what happens to the world? What happens to the earth at the end of time? I think most people would say, well, doesn't God destroy it? Doesn't it get completely wiped out? But that is not God's plan for the earth. God has a totally different plan. And so we're going to look at God's plans in the book of Revelation. Revelation is written by the Apostle John, and God allows John towards the end of his life to have a vision from heaven. And in this vision, he's able to see what's going on in the world at that time from heaven's perspective, and he's able to get a picture of what heaven will be like at the end of time. And so that's the verses we're going to look at today. So we're in Revelation 21, and here's what John sees. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. John sees a new earth. See, the earth, it's not destroyed at the end of time. It is renewed. It's restored. And John is able to recognize the new earth because it bears some resemblance to our current earth, to the current world, the former earth. You know, if I were to say to you, hey, I'm going to get you a new car, and it's going to have all these fantastic features you've never even dreamed of or imagined, and you got that car, it might have all those features that are fantastic, but they would also be familiar to you. You would recognize four tires and a steering wheel. You know, this past November, I went out to San Francisco and met with a parish, and the pastor was kind enough to take me out to dinner, and he even borrowed a friend's car who had a Tesla. And, you know, Teslas are pretty cool. They can do things other cars can't. You know, we drove down, we went to the restaurant, and then it was programmed somehow to play Carol of the Bells, and for like the lights to blink to the different notes in the song, the doors to open. It was pretty cool. Could do things I never thought a car could do, but I could recognize it as a car. The new earth will be both familiar and fantastic. This is also why I think we are attracted to movies such as Lord of the Rings or Chronicles of Narnia or Star Wars. If you think about those fantasy or science fiction movies, they're new worlds. There's fantastic things that seem to be beyond our imagination. And at the same time, there's something familiar there. Well, that all taps into this truth of what's going to happen at the end of time when there is a new earth. John continues, and he says this. He says, and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So this tells us something else about the earth. It's going to be renewed and restored. And at the end of time, there'll be a marriage between heaven and earth. The earth is like a bride married to heaven. Here's what N.T. Wright, famous theologian, says. He says, heaven and earth, it seems, are not after all poles apart, needing to be separated forever when all the children of heaven have been rescued from this wicked earth. A lot of times people think that, again, God's going to take the good people from this wicked earth and kind of bring them up to a spaceship to heaven, but that's not God's plan at all. He continues. He says, heaven and earth, they are different, radically different, but they are made for each other. And when they finally come together, that will be cause for rejoicing in the same way that a wedding is, a creational sign that God's project is going forward. The end of the earth is a marriage to heaven. And John says he sees a new Jerusalem. The people, the Jewish people that day, they loved the city of Jerusalem. They loved it even though they saw its corruption and saw that it needed to be renewed and restored. Jesus loved the city of Jerusalem. It broke his heart that the people there rejected him. But John sees in the new earth a new Jerusalem. And I think in the new earth we will see the cities that we love renewed and restored. A new Philadelphia, a new Baltimore, a new Los Angeles, a new Washington, D.C., maybe not a new Washington, D.C. That might be even begun God's ability. No, just kidding. God, there'll be a new Washington, D.C. But the cities that we love will be renewed and restored. You know, we love the places where we are from, and that is a good and holy thing. You know, I love being from Philadelphia. It'll always be my hometown. I love the city of Baltimore. It is my adopted hometown. I love our country, right? It is good and holy to love these places. And John says this will be renewed and restored in the new Jerusalem and the new earth. Kelly Kadick, who's on our team here, she's from Minnesota. And when we were talking about this series, I said, hey, Kelly, I think in new earth, you know, Minnesota, it will be restored. And you will always be from there. You'll always be from Minnesota. And she kind of smiled and perked up. She's like, really? You think that's true? I said, yeah, absolutely. And again, just the childlike response to me is a hint towards that truth. The places that we love will be renewed and restored in the new earth. John continues to say what he sees. He says, and I heard a great voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In heaven, we'll be in God's presence, and we'll know we're living in his presence. So all the pain and sadness and sorrow will pass away. As we mentioned last week, our hardships that we've experienced on this life, we will have something even more beautiful in heaven. In the Lord of the Rings trilogy, Tolkien puts it like this, through one of the characters, Sam Gamgee. He says, in heaven, everything sad will come undone. Everything sad will come undone. Everything sad will come untrue in heaven. And the last verse we'll look at from Revelation says this, "And he who sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' He also said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He who sits upon the throne is Jesus Christ. And Jesus makes all things new." Then he tells John, "Write this down. Write it down because you can take it to the bank. It is trustworthy and true." The end of time, the end of history, where we are headed is the marriage of heaven and earth, where Jesus will make all things new. That's where we are headed, the marriage of heaven and earth. But the engagement has already begun. The engagement between heaven and earth began when Jesus came down from heaven 2,000 years ago. And now Jesus makes a proposal. He proposes to you and to me to be part of that marriage, to be part of the marriage of heaven and earth. Furthermore, he proposes to us that we can begin to bring heaven to earth right now, that we do not have to wait till the end of time to bring heaven and earth, to bring heaven and earth together, but we can bring them together right now. And there's a lot of ways in which we can do that. But I think to start, we start with what every great marriage is made of, love. Jesus invites us to love. Now lights and love is such a huge word, and it can mean so many different things and so misunderstood. So let me drill down a little bit of what you and I can do today and this week and the rest of our lives, really. But we can just start with today and this week to bring love into this world. And that is simply to delight in other things, to delight in God and to delight in people for who they are. And not for just what they give to us, but for who they are in and of themselves. You see, in heaven, we will experience ecstasy. Maybe another word that's been misunderstood, but ecstasy simply means to be outside of ourselves. That we will be so focused on things outside of ourselves that we will experience this incredible joy and happiness. And see, while our hearts, we ache for infinite happiness, for infinite joy, we do not find joy and happiness by going directly for them. They are a byproduct of love. They are a byproduct of losing ourselves in love and focusing on something outside of ourselves. So for today, for this week, I want to encourage you to love things, to love God, to love people. To love them in such a way as you just take delight in them. So let's start with the love of things, which might sound like an interesting place to start, but I have a reason for that. This past Monday, as I was thinking about this message, this past Monday morning, I was sitting on my porch. I think there's a picture here. This is where I sit and just reflect and pray in the morning and try to plan out my day. And as I was thinking about this message and about this whole idea of delighting in other things and delighting in something outside of ourselves for what it is, I was looking out across the street, and I saw this house across the street, and there's a bush. They were going to show a picture there. You can see it's kind of a big, huge bush, but it's just a bush. And there was a squirrel there. And it was jumping back and forth on the branches of that tree and into that roof of that porch there. I was kind of just taking delight and amazed in its agility. And it just kind of brought some joy to my heart to think about God creating such a creature. So we begin by looking at things outside of ourselves. Again, you can look at a tree, a flower, other animals. Take delight in the things you love. You know, if you're like me and you love baseball, take delight in a double play and watching a double play. Is there anything as beautiful as a 6-4-3 double play in baseball? It really is a thing of beauty. Or pay attention to maybe it's music you need to delight in. As I was thinking about this message, I couldn't help but think about Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. And I'm more of a classic rock guy than a classical music guy, but I was thinking about Beethoven's Fifth Symphony and the first movement, and there are a few notes right in the middle of that that are just so achingly beautiful. Pay attention to the things you can taste and touch and see this week. And just take delight in them for what they are. And then use that to turn to God. See, I say start with things because the concrete, it's so much easier for us to delight in. It's harder to delight in God as a concept, right? We get lost there. But everything you love, everything you see, everything you delight in has been created by God. So use that to turn your attention to Him, to delight in God. Psalm 92 says it this way. I was reading this week. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work of your hands, I sing for joy. That as you delight in God's creation or things out in the world, you can be reminded that ultimately it is the work of God's hands, that everything good and true and beautiful is the work of God's hands in some way. And tell God, I love you. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Also, you know, if you are going through a difficult time right now or struggling with something, I was thinking about the message last week. I was thinking I kind of left this off, and it should have been part of the message, is that if you're going through a difficult time, if you tell God, I love you, or you sing His praises, you sing worship songs in the midst of hardship, it is so powerful. It will do so much to draw you closer to God. It will do so much to grow you spiritually. So delight in things, delight in God, and then take time to look around and delight in people. You know, the people you love the most, your friends, your family members, those people that you love the most, they have little things about them that you love, that you notice about them, that can delight your heart. You know, it might be their smile or an expression or the way they say something. There's little idiosyncrasies that you just, that makes you appreciate them for who they are. Take notice of that. Slow down this week. As I've been trying to do this for myself, I've been trying to take delight, again, in my family, my kids. I have a little daughter, Nadia, who's 6 months, and again, babies are so easy to delight in. They're just, again, so adorable in and of themselves. I've tried to slow down and pay attention to my wife and her smile. I love the dimples she has and just the delight in her in that. Delight in your family. Love them in that way. Delight in your friends. And then you can make sure you join us for the next series, which is going to be all about loving people. Love by delighting in others. Delighting in things outside ourselves. It's so simple, right? And yet so needed. Isn't there enough hate and anger and bitterness in the world? And if we're all honest, I know I do this sometimes. Sometimes I even go into social media looking for things that are just going to kind of annoy me or make me angry. But we need to choose to bring God's love in this world simply by delighting in God and what he's created. Now, let me just warn you, as simple as all this is, it will be opposed. And I've experienced this on Monday morning. On Monday morning, I had this kind of great prayer time as I just slowed down and read the scripture, delighting in a squirrel and kind of thinking about this. And I'm going to church, kind of I'm kind of filled up. And then I have to go to church for my small group to meet. We have a meeting 8 o'clock. Monday mornings out on the patio here at church. So I get in my car, I start driving, and I get on the beltway, and the beltway is backed up, but my lane that I get onto the beltway is still going. So I go for a little while, but then I have to get over, and I get in front of this blue pickup truck. And I thought I had plenty of room, but he honks the horn, feeling like, you know, I cut too much in front of him. All right, feel like that's over. So the traffic picks up, and this truck gets ahead of me, and it opens up, and I'm trying to now pass this truck, and he starts swerving in and out of lanes, almost fishtailing, so I can't pass him. So I'm like, all right, I just kind of take it. But then he pulls over to a lane, seems to cool down. So I'm like, all right, I guess he's calmed down now. No, instead I pass him, and now he starts riding on my tail. And then as we're coming upon the exit 26 on New York Road, he follows me. Or I think he's following me, but he gets off on York Road with me. And then we're driving on York Road, and we come up to a light, and we're right next to each other. And It's just irresistible, right? You have to look over. Who is this guy? What's going on? And he winds down his window and he's like, next time put your turn signal on. I'm like, all right. So then I'm driving and then I'm on York Road and getting closer to Ridgely and he's still behind me. I'm like, is this guy following me? Like, and then I start imagining, like, are we going to pull up in the church parking lot? He's going to try to start picking a fight with me? Am I going to, like, have to defend myself in the church parking lot? And I'm like, well, I got the guys in my small group. Maybe they can help me. And then I'm like, nah, they're not all that tough. They probably won't be much help. So, and so all this is kind of going on in my mind. And, you know, it's all, like, in a blink of an eye. And the next thing I know, I turn on the Ridgely Road, and the guy keeps going, and none of that happens. Now, I share that with you because it's kind of fun, but also because that's like something that can stress us out, right? That can be something that just ruins your day. But it didn't ruin mine. And I was able to kind of like shake it off pretty quickly. Why? Because I'd slowed down to delight in a squirrel and to thank God for it and turn my attention to God's love for me. So this works. Slow down this week. Take time to delight in things and give the glory to God and to delight in the people around you. Because if that way you are bringing the love of heaven into your heart and by extension to this earth. Oh, so we haven't answered the question. Is there baseball in heaven? Are there pets and animals in heaven? Well, obviously, I can't say with absolute assurance there is because I haven't been there yet. But I believe there is. And I believe there is, and I would look at a quote from C.S. Lewis who said this, "Your place in heaven will seem to be made for you and for you alone because you were made for it, made for stitch by stitch as a glove is made for a hand." You see, whatever love touches, it transforms. And I think everything loved on this earth will be brought into heaven. Whatever is loved and received loved will be transformed and brought into the new heaven and the new earth. The question again for each of us is always is, do we receive that love? That 2,000 years ago, Jesus came down from heaven. He was love come down. And he proposes to us every single day, will you receive that love? Will you receive my love so that you can be part of the wedding banquet at the end of time? Will you receive my love today so that heaven can come through you, so that heaven and earth are joined together in you? So as we wrap up, as we let's pray. Let's pray and just say, yes, Jesus, we receive your love come down so that we can be part of the marriage of heaven and earth. And Jesus, we want to be part of building that kingdom right now as we grow to love. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these words from John. We thank you that your destiny is for the marriage of heaven and earth. And Father, we just today, we say yes, yes, yes to the proposal of your Son. That God, we want to be a part of your kingdom in heaven. And God, we want to be part of your kingdom right now. So God, let us receive your love. Let us delight in you and all you have created. Help us to do that every day, Lord. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seeing the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HOLO is here to help. HOLO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel to the rosary to daily examines, HOLO has something for everyone. HOLO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content. But you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.catholicapp.com. holo.app/breadbox.